It's Financial Freedom Friday, and I'm here with Neil Timmons. Today, we are going to talk about hard money loans.
Hey, Mavericks. This is Ava Baukamp, and this episode of Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks is brought to you by Legacy Impact Investors. We are an industrial investment firm located in cash flow country, the Midwest. We strive to shield off risk and beat inflation, all while producing predictable cash flow. We curate real estate investment opportunities for busy professionals and other real estate investors seeking passive income. To learn more about what we do and connect with me, go to www.legacyimpactinvestors.com.
Maverick, noun, unusual person, a visionary, leader, go-getter, an independent thinker. They see the vision for their life and pull that future towards them with an unyielding belief that things can and must be better. They achieve what most won't. Innovative, influential, daring, and direct, with a remarkably high tolerance for taking calculated risk. A foe to the status quo. This is Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks. Your host, Neil Timmons, has been involved with over $300 million in real estate transactions. He's a published author, commercial property investor, and real estate syndicator. This show is for those who want to learn how to earn passive income through real estate investing. Now, here's your host, Neil Timmons.
Welcome to the Passive Real Estate Investing with Mavericks podcast, where we provide you with actionable steps to grow your passive income and become job optional. For those of you who are new, I'm your host, Ava Baukamp, and I love to educate investors about passive income from real estate. Before I open up today's episode, I want to ask you for a small favor. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a thumbs up or subscribe to the show so that you never miss a valuable episode. And if you love what you're hearing, please give us a written review. Also, be sure to take a look at the description of this episode as we have it packed with thousands of dollars in free resources. And also, one extra plug, we are launching monthly in educational investor workshops called the Legacy Briefing. And our briefings are going to be covering all things related to passive investing. Our first one is right around the corner. So mark your calendars for February 27th. That is a Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central. We're going to hit the ground running with everything you need to know about taxes as a passive investor. This will be super practical, and we're going to have live Q&A. So you can register to attend that by going to www.legacybriefing.com. That's legacybriefing.com to sign up. All right, today we are going to be covering a topic that many of you are interested in learning more about, and that's lending for real estate, hard money loans. This has come up a couple of times because we actually do this in our own backyard. It's part of our business in Des Moines, Iowa. This really grew out of our background as rehabbers. So we've completed hundreds of rehabs in the Des Moines area. So we have a wide network of other fix and flippers that we know, and we began to start lending to those rehabbers. And so that's the topic of today's podcast, hard money loans. If you are unfamiliar with the concept, what am I even talking about? You may have also heard about these referred to as bridge loans. Sometimes they're called bridge loans. It's a loan that is secured by a property. A hard money loan relies on the collateral, the property, usually over the financial position of the borrower. So the funding timeline is much shorter. And usually, I mean, one of the hallmarks of these loans is they're not provided necessarily by banks, but maybe smaller companies or individuals. And these types of loans are commonly used in the fix and flip space. So we're not going to be talking today about hard money lending in the context of foreclosures, although that is an application. But rehabbers and contractors use them over getting financing through a bank because a hard money lender can move a lot faster. There's usually less red tape. The loans can be customized. The structure can be customized to have no interest payments, some interest payments, all of them at the end, even financing part, if not all of the rehab costs. And for a rehabber, when they go through a bank, they have to wait 30 to 60 days for funding. And those loans are structured 15 to 30 years. Whereas with a hard money lender, they can move much faster, a matter of days, and the terms are much shorter, 6 to 18 months. So quick overview there. Neil, can you give us some examples of common terms or structures that are used in hard money loans?
Yeah, I think you absolutely talk about common structures and terms, but you hit it on the head. It is for rehabbers who want to move fast. They've got a deal, they've locked it up. Time is of the essence. They've got to get it closed. In some cases, they're buying properties from people going into foreclosure. They're trying to help people out of foreclosure. They buy it at a sheriff's auction maybe, and now they need to recapitalize this because they just paid cash for a deal and now they need rehab funds. It's for people who want to move in a timely fashion, or they got dinged up credit. They've had issues on their credit. They borrowed too much money. Their debt to income is way out of whack. And so it is about that collateral, as you said. It's about that piece of property being able to stand on its own for the lender to go, all right, if we've got to take a piece of property back, we know we've got a good piece of collateral. We know that there's an adequate down payment. We know the loan to value is just in fine shape to be able to do that. And so terms wise, you're right, 6 months to a year, very commonplace in being able to do these. Dollars and cents wise, it doesn't really matter if it's 50 grand, if it's 500 grand, hard money lenders will lend on just about any deal in any price range. It just comes down to that collateral. Cost-wise, it's absolutely 100% that it's spot on. It is more expensive than borrowing money from a bank. There's the trade-off. If you want to go through a bank, the bank process, it is the least expensive way to borrow money. But there's a whole lot of banks who don't want to do this type of loan. Why? Because it's not particularly the most rewarding financially for a bank. They got to do a lot of work and then have that loan on their books for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months. They make their money earning ultimately interest income. And that means having the loans on their books for an extended period of time. So in this scenario, from a hard money lender, you'll see an origination fee, maybe in the low end from a giant national company, maybe 1 to 2%, somewhere in that range. From a local person, 2 to 4%, 2 to 5%, somewhere in that kind of range. Interest rates vary from, say, 10 to 17%. And you typically end up with some level of closing costs, hard closing costs to close it, whatever, $400 to $1,000, somewhere in that kind of range from a loan term and cost standpoint.
Gotcha. Monthly payments, interest, interest only, or how flexible is that?
You see it every firm, and the uniqueness about the traditional hard money lender is it was never national. It was always in one's own backyard doing one's own stuff. And so what you typically saw years ago, not that many years ago, but say 10 or 15 years ago before the technology advanced to the spot to give people comfort in underwriting nationally to be able to go lend money. But you still see this today. The biggest bulk of hard money lenders are local hard money lenders. They're not national ones. And so you see a lot of customization taking place there, from interest-only monthly payments to no interest payments, pay it off at the end in a balloon, to I've seen some where they front load the interest. You're going to prepay all the interest for 6 months. And so everybody's just a little different in terms of how they structure those. What should take place is conversation with a borrower. Borrowers should talk to a number of folks to get comfortable with who it is they're going to do business with, understanding how they do business, and making sure that deal works for them. Because it one thing that has to take place, and when we do this, when we underwrite, is that borrower needs to make money. There needs to be enough margin in the deal that they're buying where they're going to make money. Otherwise, we shouldn't do the deal as a lender, and they should not do the deal as a borrower, period.
So talk a little bit about that underwriting evaluation process for someone who might be thinking about doing hard money lending or perhaps participating in some way. How does that deal get underwritten at the property level? Are there any metrics that usually get looked at? And then also, are there any steps for evaluating the borrower themselves, or is it entirely on that property?
Are you a passive real estate investor seeking financial freedom? Well, today's market's unique and it's ever-changing. Now is the time to get educated on how to strategically invest in commercial real estate for long-term financial freedom. Grab your copy of How to Passively Invest in a Changing Economic Environment. Go to www.mavericksinvest.com. Yeah, great questions. And so let's go through the underwriting process. And I want to talk about who are the potential players involved in a deal and certainly how it relates to passive investors, where one could potentially participate. And so when somebody applies for a loan, there's a couple of steps that people do. And I'll talk generally about hard money lenders and then specifically about what we do. They typically look at a credit score. They may review tax returns. They're going to get an understanding of this individual person. We go a step further. We want to understand their level of experience. So we're asking for the last two deals that they've done. We want to understand they're seeing the before and after pictures. What are all the economics that go into it? What did they buy it for? What did they rehab it for? What was the outcome? Meaning what did they sell it for? Did they make money? How much did they make? So we're looking at those spreads and the margins, the percentages, which they did there. And then evaluating a particular deal, it is looking at that piece of collateral. And these are ugly beat up homes typically. They need work. So you're looking at a properties as is today, understanding their scope of work. Scope of work just outlines, here's what's going to be done. Here's what's going to cost. And then at the end, what's the ARV, the after repaired value? So we can identify, is there a margin? If it costs X, it costs to repair is Y. What's it worth in the end? And is there a margin there? A number of hard money lenders will do, and certainly national ones, they'll send out an appraiser, which takes a little time, costs money, and the appraiser is going to put those numbers together. The reason we just do this in our backyard is because I have personally been in 10,000 plus homes in Des Moines over the course of my career. And as you said, we flipped hundreds and hundreds. We don't need to rely on a third party. We complete the underwriting ourselves to have an understanding of what it's going to cost and where their valuations are from an as-is standpoint and after it's improved, to be able to come back through and understand from a risk standpoint, what kind of loan can we put in place?
I want to ask you a question about what happens when something goes south. Let's say you've checked all the boxes, you've reviewed, things look good, but something happens. Is there a process for the lender to take the property back? What does that look like in case something would go wrong?
Yeah, you're going to a foreclosure. So it's a little faster and easier than foreclosing on somebody who lives in their house because we only lend money to investors, right? These are people who do not occupy the property. They are professional investors. Their intent is to remodel and resell or remodel, stick a tenant in there and typically refinance the property and keep it as an asset, cash flowing asset for themselves. And so, yes, you're engaging an attorney and you're going through that foreclosure process.
Gotcha. In terms of skipping back to you, a deal comes across your desk, a borrower is ready to move forward, and you're ready to go to closing. What does that look like from a timeline perspective, and what are the general steps involved?
Yeah. So from a closing standpoint, we always say we need 5 days on the backside of clear title to close. So we can close quick. For any listener not in Iowa, we use this funky thing called abstracts, which we're the only state in the union that does this. So it's all normal to us and not normal to anybody outside of Iowa. So once that abstract's updated, sent to the attorney to render a title opinion, as soon as they send that out and it's clear, or if there's items on there that need to be cleared, as soon as they're cleared, we can close inside of 5 days. So we can move very, very fast to be able to get somebody done, closed, and get them funds. And then you move into that rehab process. So typically, let's say, for example, just a common one, is somebody bought a house for $80,000 and they're going to put $50,000 into rehab. We go into a draw process on all our dollars and cents on the rehab side of things. So that looks a lot like building a brand new house, which means you're not just writing a check to that builder. You got to go through a draw process. And so for us, it's somebody's, the investor's going out, they're going to have some level of work done, let's call it $15,000 worth of work. And then we send somebody out, go through, evaluate that, check the balance against their scope of work, confirm that it was $15,000. And then we issue a prop, we process a check, $15,000. And that draw process goes through till all the work is done, called in this case, $50,000. That whole property is done and remodeled. And then we issue the final check for that draw process on the remodel. And at that point, they're typically staging, going through cleaning. It goes for sale at that point.
Great. Now, for the listener who's thinking, this feels like a lot of active work, why are we actually talking about this? Give us an overview of what this could look like for someone as a passive investor. Perhaps they're interested in lending themselves, or is there another way that someone can participate in this kind of opportunity without having to handle that whole process themselves?
Yeah, you're right. In order for somebody to get involved, is either active, doing what we do, following the steps I just outlined, or it becomes passive. And passive could look like two different ways. Passive would be lending to somebody like ourselves, who would then in turn go off and employ dollars and cents. You typically would have a fixed rate of return when that's the case. or it's participating in a loan, which means you're going to either evaluate a package or you're going to invest inside of some sort of debt fund. One raises X number of dollars. This is what they do. And all of your dollars are secured by a first mortgage position inside of a loan, inside of a property. So there's a couple of ways, either lending directly to somebody who in turn lends, or you're going to invest inside of a fund or a fixed, maybe it's on a property by property basis. We don't do that model, but a property by property basis to where you're going, all right, this is my borrower. This is exactly what I'm doing. And this is what I'm investing into this particular property.
If I'm a passive investor, I'm interested in this. What kinds of returns generally, maybe a range, could I expect? And also, what kinds of funds can I use? Is it just cash or is there other flexibility here?
Yeah, it's certainly going to range. Let's call it a 6 to 7% on the low end to maybe 12-ish percent on the high end. The lowest end, you're going to lend to somebody who then is in turn going to go and play it. They would typically sign their company and or personally. They're going to personally guarantee the loan that you're providing them, because ultimately they've got more discretion over in terms of how they employ those funds. So you need to know, like, and trust those people a lot. The next level up would be, maybe at the highest level would be you lending into a particular deal, meaning 123 Main Street, particular exact, this is the address, this is the underwriting, this is the package, this is what you're going to fund for this particular deal. And you're going to be funding on a deal by deal basis. The plus side is you're going to make more money on that. The downside is your dollars and cents are typically not employed as long, because on a direct borrowing thing, you may sign up for a year and it's 6, 7, 8% fixed return. The other side may be get a percentage of the total deal, for example, but it may pay off in 90 days. And then you're going to go off and do it again. So it's just not employed as long. So to answer your next question, how can you invest? This is what I love, because IRAs lend themselves, pun intended, to investing in debt. So IRAs are a great way to do it, because you don't have to worry about the depreciation. If you're going to buy property and you can put it in your personal name, you can, or an LLC, whatever you want to do it, outside of an IRA, you can get depreciation. And when you do that in an IRA, you just don't get that depreciation benefit. So IRAs lending money is a terrific way to participate, to get tremendous cash on cash return. And then you don't have to worry about that depreciation loss, because it's just not applicable in a lending situation. You can do it with own cash, IRAs, LLCs, self-directed 401ks. There's lots of way to be able to, HSAs. There's lots of ways to be able to participate in this.
Awesome. Great. Well, that wraps up this episode all about hard money lending, what the process is, what that can look like as a passive investor, and a couple of extra nuggets for you based on our experience lending here in the Des Moines area. Before we wrap up, don't forget to mark your calendars for February 27th, Tuesday at 6 p.m., our first legacy briefing. We're going to cover everything you want and need to know about taxes as a passive investor. Super practical Q&A for you to make sure you get those questions answered, as I'm sure you're preparing and looking ahead very excitedly for tax season. So you can register by going to www.legacybriefing.com, and we hope to see you there.
To our listeners, pat yourself on the back. You guys have made it to the end of the show, and most people never finish what they start. If you receive value from today's show, be sure to share it on LinkedIn, your Facebook page, or your social media platform of choice. Subscribe to never miss a valuable episode in the future. And if you found value in today's episode, give us a thumbs up with a positive review. If there's a particular topic you'd like to hear about, well, I want to hear from you. Shoot me a message on LinkedIn. The link to my profile is below in the show notes. You can connect with me there for more valuable content.